All right.
Long time no see, eh? Hey, thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. I got some love from the front row, or one part of the front row, anyway. Hey, so today, we always do, just in case you're new or not familiar with how we do things, we always do series here at Motion. I think it's very helpful, because I don't know about you. Well, first off, people are busy, people cycle through, so, you know, sometimes people can't make it every single week. We get that. I wish that weren't the case. I think you guys should be here every single week for the rest of your life into perpetuity, but that's just me. But I get, you know, sometimes you have vacation, you got stuff going on. So we do series so that you can stay in the loop as to what's going on. I feel like if we went, you know, to a different topic every single week or a different, you know, sermon series or idea every single week, it'd be really hard to kind of stay in the loop. So what we do is we usually do like a 4-week series at a time, just so, you know, everybody can stay on the same page. I think it's helpful and beneficial. But for the last couple of weeks, we've been kind of doing some standalone things, some stuff that last week, as a matter of fact, let's back up for a second. How many of you guys were here last week? Didn't Daniel do a fantastic job last week? I thought that was really good. And then he doesn't show up today. What's up with that? Now, they're on vacation this week, so Daniel's not here. Preach and leave. That's how it is. But anyway, so we've been doing some kind of standalone, some you know, one-liners or messages that have been on our hearts, I guess my heart and Daniel's heart. And so this week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a phrase that I heard a few weeks ago or a few months ago. I don't even know where it came from, who I heard it from. I like to think that it originated with me, but it probably didn't. You guys know how that goes. Like you hear something, but you can't remember exactly who it is that you need to attribute it to, so you try to take credit for it for yourself. So anyway, a phrase that I say all of the time is, I'm just kidding, is don't mistake our meekness for weakness. And I was just kind of thinking about what the attitude of a Christ follower should be and what that looks like in real life and how that translates into when we leave this place and we go to work tomorrow, when you go to your families and just life, you know, because this is easy. Being here together, kind of, you know, all of us corporately gathering for 1 hour a week and we get to celebrate and worship God, that's the easy part. It's what we do outside of here that gets tough, because this is what life does. I don't know if you've experienced enough in life to know this, but if you haven't, let me just kind of shoot straight with you. Life hits you, and it just hits you. And have you ever been at the ocean and the waves keep coming? And sometimes you kind of get a little nervous. You're like, man, this may be it. I'm done. I'm done for. Because the waves kind of catch you off guard, and they keep coming, and they keep coming. Life is like that sometimes. It's just like wave after wave after wave. And so we've got to learn how to live through that. And what's really cool about that is to combat the fact that life is crazy like that sometimes, is that God, in his mercy, gives grace on top of grace, on top of grace. So when you've got wave on top of wave, you've got grace on top of grace. God sustains us through all of the seasons of life and all of the struggles of life. And so that's a long, long setup for sometimes we just need to kind of be reminded of what our attitude should be as followers of Jesus in the real world, like when we're struggling. Because it's easy to talk about this stuff in a vacuum, and it's easy to talk about grace, and it's easy to talk about kindness and patience in a vacuum. But when it comes time to put it into practice, sometimes it's a little more difficult, right? You guys are familiar with that. And I'll give you a quick example. 2 weeks ago, I was in here preaching my heart out, man. I was just laying it on the line. I was sharing some things that, you know, we were talking about what we need to pray for, like how we love people and how we should pray for God to help us to love people. And it started in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it says that love is patient. And so I'm in here kind of expressing our need to be patient with people, the thought kind of came into my head. I was like, God, help us to be patient with our children. And I said it like 3 times, and I was feeling it. I was like, God, help us to be patient with our children. And some of you parents, every one of you parents were feeling it. It was like one of those moments, right? And while that's going on, this is talking about the real life. We don't live in a vacuum. While that's going on, my son is in Motown, which is our kids' ministry, children's ministry. And apparently he found the teacher had a keychain that had pepper spray on it. God, help me to be patient with my children. God, help me to be patient with my children. They have to evacuate Motown because my son found the pepper spray and thought it was air freshener, Febrezing the eyeballs of our children. And so my point is, like, we don't live in a vacuum. We live in a real world, and we have to learn how to live this stuff out, these things that we talk about in a real world. And so that's kind of the setup for, man, we are called to be meek. We are called to be humble. We are called to be gentle. But how does that translate into a real world setting? And how does that, because this is what happens. I think there's kind of a breakdown in the understanding of this. A lot of people think that to be that you're weak. And that's not the case at all. In fact, I'm convinced that meekness is the greatest form of strength, that humility is the greatest form of strength that there is. I'm 100% convinced, and I probably could give you real life examples of this. People that are prideful are very weak and very insecure. But people who are confident in who they are and who God has created them to be, they're very strong in that. So I think it's just kind of important to clarify that. Man, you don't have to be meek and weak. You can be meek and strong. You're not a doormat. You don't, you know, let people take advantage of you. And I think sometimes we kind of think, oh, we're supposed to be people of grace and love. Absolutely. But grace is strong and love is strong. How many of you know, like, your parents, they beat you because they love you? That's strong. That turned out okay. Ish. Mostly. I think that it's important to kind of clarify some of these things. It also indicates that we're not supposed to abuse people or bully people or take advantage. Some people, I've seen situations where people seem to think like that God loves them more than he loves the next person, right? And so because of some special relationship that they have with God, that they can manipulate and abuse and bully people. And that's not the case either. Like, we're not supposed to use or manipulate people, but we're also not supposed to be doormats. I think the answer is somewhere in between that. Don't mistake our meekness for weakness, right? So that's the setup. This is what we're going to kind of jump into this thing with, is looking at what that is and why it's so important. And the first part of it is just that we're called to do it. Like, Jesus calls us as his followers to be meek. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus is kind of going through, it's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It's the most famous sermon that Jesus ever preached. So it was like, that's kind of a big deal. Like, every sermon that Jesus preached was probably a big deal, but this was the biggest deal. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, he says this: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And so he's going through this list. They're called the Beatitudes. And it's this list of ways that we should conduct ourselves, attitudes that we should have. And right in the middle of that, he said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And if you look up the word meek, you kind of go to the Greek and the dictionary. It says, to be meek is to be gentle and humble. And again, I'm just convinced that you are strong if you can carry yourself like that, that you are an incredibly resilient and powerful and bold and courageous person if, in the world that we live in, you can choose to prefer others over yourself. You can choose to give honor to other people. If you can choose to live like that, then you're incredibly strong. There's nothing weak about that. Meekness is not accomplished by being brash or kind of exhibiting bravado. Like, and we see, man, it's funny how we celebrate people that live like this, right? Like, you know, it seems like every person that you put a microphone in front of that's a celebrity, they're extremely pompous and arrogant. And we say they're confident, they're arrogant, they're not confident. There's a line that you can cross where confidence become arrogance, and most of them have crossed it. They live on the other side of it. And we celebrate people like this, and that's just not the way that we should live our lives, so we shouldn't celebrate people who live their lives like that, but I'm not going to tell you how to live, even though I just did. Right? Meekness is a calm confidence. It's a calm confidence. And what's cool is that the confidence is not in ourselves. The confidence is in who God has created us to be and in his strength. We're confident in that, therefore we can be calm, right? We trust that God is good, and whatever happens in our life is part of his plan, and he's in control. And we say things like this, like, it's all going to work out. It always does. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny how we get into circumstances and we start freaking out? We're like, oh God, what am I going to do? And you're where you're at, like, you've made it this far, and I'm pretty sure that you're going to make it through this. And when you get through this, the next thing that comes, you're going to get through that. Like, everything is going to work out. God sustains us, and we can have confidence in him. We can be calm and humble and gentle through all of our circumstances. So meekness, there's a little phrase I stole from a commentary. It says this: meekness toward God is that disposition of spirit in which we accept his dealings with us as good, therefore without disputing or resisting. So it's basically, meekness is positioning yourself right. Like, you are not God. This is you, and this is God. Like, God is it says in Isaiah that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so it's just about positioning yourself properly. You are not God. You humble yourself and you elevate God. You exalt God. You humble yourself. That's what the first step of meekness is. And I think when we get that, when we kind of understand how we should relate to God, it helps us to relate to others a little better. We can choose to be humble toward other people when we realize, like, hey, man, I'm not it. Because a lot of people think they are it, right? Never met any of those. You will. So our willingness to be meek and humble is dependent. It's not on our strength that we can do that. It's on the strength of the one who sustains us. It's on the strength of the one who gives strength to the weak. It's on the strength of the one who gets us through all of our messes. It's on the strength of the one who takes our disaster pieces and turns them into masterpieces, right? It's on the strength of the one who takes our weaknesses and turns it into strength, right? Like, it's not in you. It's strength in God. It's confidence in God. Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says this, and this is so good. Like, this is such... I hate using this word, but I use it sometimes. It's like a nugget, right, to hold on to. It's something that, man, when you kind of are feeling down or you're feeling less about yourself or you're struggling and you just kind of feel defeated, hold on to this. It says this, but he, being God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Like, if we were strong, if we had all of the answers, we wouldn't have need of God. There would be no need for God if we were self-sufficient, but we're not. And there is. Like, there's an incredible need for God. So he said, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And then in verse 10, it says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions. I wish the people who wrote the Bible would stop that. Right? Like we talked about in James, it says, therefore, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. I'm not there yet, man. They're like, yay, struggles. Yay, trials. Yay. That was hashtag, right? And Paul kind of, he taps into this same emotion. He says, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. I delight in difficulties because I realize that when I am weak, God is strong. Like, God can sustain me and he'll get me through everything that I have to go through. And that's where we can find this confidence in. That's what gives us the ability to be meek in the world that we live in. That's what gives us this opportunity to exhibit humility in a world that celebrates pride. So that's kind of the first part. That's our goal, man. It's to be strong in the Lord. There's so many little verses that you can use to understand how this works. It says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your might, right? It's not ultimately you are finite, but you depend on his might who is infinite, right? Ish. You just kind of make words fit however you need to get them to fit. And so that's where our strength comes from. He's the one that can see us through any trial or any adversity. He's the one that gives wisdom to help us navigate through our circumstances because I know you and I know me and man, we're just not that smart. Like when you talk to people and you counsel people and they kind of give you your plan, they give you their plan on how they're going to get out of their mess. And you're like, you didn't think that went through, did you, bro? Right? Like we have limited wisdom, but we can tap into a God, like it says in James, that gives wisdom if we ask of him. He'll help us get through our circumstances. He's the one that makes our mistakes a masterpiece. Our disaster piece turns them into a masterpiece. So that's the first part. That's our call from Jesus, is to be people who are meek. And so we exhibit that. And we can do that only because we understand that he's in control. Our strength is not our strength. Our strength is his strength, right? So that's the first part. The second part is a little weird. How many of you guys like the medieval period? Anybody, like when I was growing up, when I was a kid, man, I loved like the idea of being a knight. I wanted to be a knight. I thought that was so cool. And I thought dragons were probably still like a real thing. Right? They are, I think. Komodo dragons, right? And so I was just fascinated with the medieval period and a lot of the art that kind of came out of that. I want to get a crest. I want to create a family crest and do like the lion. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? I know it's such a nerdy thing. Like, I read all the Dragon Tail books when I was a kid. I played Dragon Warrior 3 for hours and days, weeks, maybe months. And I wasted a large portion of my childhood on stuff like that. And so the point is, I kind of got this picture that we're called to be snake birds. Strange, I know, right? You ever heard of a snake bird? I don't know if it's a real thing or not, but the idea is that we're taking two completely different characters and morphing them into one. Just like we're supposed to have two completely different characteristics morphed into one, that we can be humble and we can be strong. We can be meek and we can be bold. Like you take two completely different, seemingly different characteristics and you morph them into one, like snake birds, right? And so, man, I was thinking of, like, how cool it would be to have a crest with a snake bird on it for this, but it didn't happen. And so we're anomalies, man. We're supposed to be these, you know, it's weird that you can take, it's almost a conundrum. You take two things that, oxymoron, for example, jumbo shrimp, right? United Methodist. That was a joke. Just a joke. I'm completely joking. I've always heard that. Oxymorons, right? So, like, that's kind of us. That's what we are. That's how we are supposed to live our lives, that we have these two completely, seemingly completely different characteristics morphed into us and in our bodies and our lives. And so we're strong, yet we're meek. We're tough, yet we're humble. We're resilient, but we're graceful. You get it? We're courageous, but we're kind. Like, we have all of these characteristics kind of pancaked into our lives and the way that we live our lives. And so if you find, I didn't pull this completely out of left field. It's more out of right field, but whatever. Because that's where the dandelions grow, right? As Jesus was sending out his disciples, you guys don't remember that? Wow. As Jesus was sending out his disciples for the very first time. So this is an incredible story if you look at kind of the context and what all was going on. So Jesus had gathered his disciples and kind of selected the people that were think about the weight of their responsibility. These are the men who are responsible for telling the entire world about Jesus, the Son of God, the salvation of humanity. Like, that's kind of a big deal, right? And so the first time that he sends them out to kind of begin this, to begin sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, the first time he sends them out, he tells them this, and I think it's such a powerful tidbit of advice that we would be wise to heed today. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves." Isn't it funny that we think that life, some people, and not you guys are way too intelligent for this. A lot of people think that Christianity is easy and that following Jesus is easy. And Jesus just said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." Do you know what wolves do to sheep? They eat them. They devour them. They consume them. And Jesus is like, "Here you go, buddy," right? Sends his disciples out. And he's like, "Here, life is tough. You're going to experience adversity. You're going to experience difficulty. You're going to experience trials." He sets it up right. He's just honest. And I hate when we communicate the gospel and we communicate Jesus as if, hey, come to Jesus and everything about your life will be better. It'll be good, it'll be easy, and grace, and you know, all, and those things are true partially, right? It's part of the truth, it's part of the gospel, but the other part is that we will struggle, and you will have trials, and you're still human, you've still got life to experience, and I just think that it's fair when we communicate it properly. Don't miscommunicate the gospel. Like, I mean, the disciples, all but one of them got killed because of their faith, right? Things that we forget about. So after he says that, "Behold, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves," this is what he says. "So be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves." Snake birds, right? I'm not completely crazy. Mostly, but not completely. "Be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves." Another version says to be as wise as a snake and harmless as a dove. And so you see these completely opposite characters being morphed into one. And you can understand how we can be meek but not be weak. We can be meek and we can be strong. We can be brave but kind and courageous but gentle. You see how we can take the two and kind of morph them into one. In other words, we can be humble, but that does not mean that we are weak. Both meek and strong, both characteristics are wrapped up inside of us like a snake bird. So that's what we're called to do. That's who we are supposed to be. That's what this looks like for us. And that's how you kind of reconcile the two. Like, you don't have to go so far to one side where you're just a snake, right? And you don't have to go so far to the other side where you're just a lovey dove. There's both. There's grace and truth. Grace, I love that in the book of John, it says of Jesus, it says that he was full of grace and truth. Not grace or truth, not half full of grace and half full of truth. He was full of grace and truth. He was both. And that's kind of how we should live our lives. You can be meek and humble, but strong and resilient, right? You've heard this, like in counseling and helping people and all of those things, you hear that at a certain point, when you do too much, you actually enable them and you perpetuate the problem. And it's kind of like you can be graceful, but then you have to be intelligent and learn when to cut people off, when it's actually better for you to cut them off. Like it's better for them for you to cut them off, right? Grace and truth, snake birds. Don't mistake our meekness for weakness. And so this is the encouraging part, is that it can be done, right? It can be done. We have some biblical examples of this taking place in real life. And we'll start kind of way, way back with a guy named Moses. It was so funny. Where's Kelsey? Kelsey, where are you at? Hey, when I ask where you're at, stick your hand up, right? She's like, anyway, so Kelsey showed me a picture last night, and it was two guys fishing, and apparently one was Moses, and Moses was sitting beside the guy fishing, and he was parting the river where he was trying to fish, and he's like, stop it, Moses. It's funny. But if you look at the life of Moses, was it not as funny as I thought it was? Joke's on me, I guess, huh? All right. What did I miss? Anyway, so insecure. So Moses was an incredible leader, but you also see in the life of Moses a lot of humility. In fact, I love the way it says this. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, this is what it says about Moses, which is insane. It says, now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. I think he wrote that, right? Like, yeah, that kind of self-defeating, right? But it says that Moses was the meekest man. One version said he was the meekest man who ever lived. This version said he's the meekest man on the face of the earth. And so you see that characteristic in his life, but that doesn't mean that he was a pushover. That doesn't mean that he was kind of a, you know, doormat and allowed whatever to happen and just kind of went with the flow. And whatever you guys want to do, we'll do. He had a backbone and he stood up. He believed in the calling of God that was on his life and he fought for it. If you understand the story, you understand that Moses had to go stand before the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who was the most powerful man in the world at the time. The most powerful man in the world at the time. And he had to go stand before him and say, let my people go, right? That felt, you know, I wanted to bust out some kind of theatrics, but it just seemed inappropriate at the moment. He had to do that. And he had to lead 2.5 million people approximately out of Exodus and slavery. Exodus 2.5 million people out of slavery and bondage and oppression. And so Moses, even though he was meek, was incredibly successful, and he believed in what it was that he was called to do, and he didn't cater or kowtow to what everybody else thought that he should do. He didn't give in to societal norms, which for us, I mean, can we just understand that there are just some things that you're not going to be able to do as a follower of Jesus? I am so frustrated. I get so irritated. I say that a lot. I'm not a very irritated person. For the most part. But I get so frustrated when people seem to think that the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian or a person who doesn't follow Jesus is the fact that we've got grace in our life, right? Or God has forgiven us. And then we get to kind of go and do whatever it is that we want to do. And I'm just like, have you read the rest of the story? Because there are certain things that you are called to do. There are certain things that you don't get to partake of or that aren't for you. I love the way Paul says, he said, these are not for you. Like, just set your eyes on the things that matter, on the prize, like the things that actually honor God. You don't get to do just whatever you want to do. And Moses had a backbone. He was willing to stand up. He didn't go with the flow. He didn't just follow societal norms and, oh, this is the way it is, so this is the way I've got to live my life, right? He was bold and courageous, but obviously he was meek. And I just don't think it's any coincidence that he was meek and he was strong and he was a great leader and he did incredible things. His success as a leader and a person that God chose to use was connected to his humility. If you find other parts of Scripture, you read other parts of Scripture, and you see that God is incredibly honored when we choose to be people of humility. It says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. He says that if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled, but if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. right? Like when we choose to go down that path, we choose to live our lives like that and carry ourselves like that. When we choose to be humble and meek, God will exalt us. God will create opportunities for us to be successful. And I know that's not the end all of our life. That's not the main focus of our life. But God, because he is rich in mercy, will do that for us. And you've probably seen people like this, people who are just incredibly humble but incredibly successful at the same time. And they had every reason to be prideful, right? They had, you know, by the world's standards, they were successful and they had these accolades and accomplishments and achievements. So by the world's standards, they could be arrogant, but they chose not to. They chose to be humble. And to me, man, that's like the pinnacle of who we should strive to be. That's the highest calling for us. So Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. This is just to kind of prove that I didn't make that up, and it's in the Bible, right? It says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Like Jesus said that. Who is another really good example of somebody who was meek and strong. I mean, Jesus, when I think about Jesus, probably when we say Jesus and you kind of start thinking about what it was actually like and how he actually acted and how his attitude was and the words that he said. And do you ever think about like what Jesus was really like as a person? Am I the only fruitcake that does that? Right. Yeah, I think it'd just be so cool. But, oh, it's Jesus. Let's go hang out, homie. Right. And it probably wouldn't go down like that. But when I think about it, I just think that he was an incredibly meek person. I think he was a very humble person. I think that based on what we understand from Scripture about him, he was incredibly meek. He was gentle. He was humble. Like he even said, which I know it's he can do this because he's God, right? But he's like, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you kind of get this sense of gentleness and humility from him. But he wasn't afraid to tell it like it was. Like Jesus never skirted around the truth. Jesus never didn't say what needed to be said just because he didn't want to upset the powers that be. Like Jesus was always willing to upset some religious folk, which I think is fascinating. So I think it's just a great example of meekness and strength. I think it's a great example of meekness and graciousness kind of all wrapped up in this package of strength and truth, full of grace and truth. He didn't give in to the way that things were in order to not upset people, but he told the truth when the truth needed to be told. Now, you can do that in a loving way. You don't have to be a jerk to tell the truth, right? Like, we understand that, right? It says to speak the truth in love. Like, you've got some people, they want to tell the truth, but the way you tell the truth turns everybody off that you're telling the truth to, so there's no point in you talking, so shut up, right? Like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that you're just making noise. You're a clanging gong and a cymbal, just shh, shh. And that gets old after a while, right? Percussionists. So it can be done. It can be done. And so for us, as we leave today, I want to give you guys some real-life application. We call it RLA. Actually, we don't call it that. We just started calling it today. We call it RLA. But if you didn't know, you didn't know. So I could have gotten away with that. So here's some real-life application. We're going to get down to the brass tacks. What does this look like for me and you in our everyday life? What does this look like when we leave and we go back to work, or you go back to school, or you go back to those difficult people maybe that you have to deal with, or just life? This is what this can look like. Be gracious and strong. Remember that your strength doesn't even really come from you. Your strength comes from a God who freely gives his grace to undeserving folks like you and me. Right? Just remember that. Be gracious. But be strong, because your strength really isn't even your strength. It's strength from God. So you remember that and remember how weak you really are, and it enables you to be gracious toward other people. Be gracious and strong. Be bold and loving. Be bold and loving, right? Be willing to do whatever it takes to follow the calling that God has on your life. Like Moses, man, he was willing to do whatever it took to be who it was that God created him to be. But he didn't use that kind of as leverage to beat other people up and say, "Look at me." And you know, kind of, I guess we use the expression like, you know, holier than thou, which is just funny to me because we abuse things. Anytime somebody's doing something good, we try to throw that around. We're going to talk about that another day. I'm going to write that down, make a note. We're going to have a sermon about that. Right. But just be bold and loving. Just remember that God has created you specifically and uniquely. So follow that calling and don't look down on other people because they're not doing exactly what it is that you're doing. Be loving towards them. Be truthful and gentle. Truthful and gentle. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. We tell our children all of the time, it is not what you say. It's how you say what you say. Because, you know, if I tell you, just think about this. This is such an easy example. If I tell you that I love you like this, I love you. Do you really believe me? Or if I'm like, I love you, stupid. You know, it's not what you say. The content was good, minus the stupid part. The content was good, but how we say it changes everything. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. So be truthful and gentle. Be willing to say what needs to be said, but do it with tact and kindness. Preach. Be pure and understanding. Be pure and understanding. You know, it's really cool if you go back to the first verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, where it says that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And it's really cool because if you look at the word inherit, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go all the way back. But if you look at, there's an idea communicated in there that we are called to be pure. And it talks about, it kind of makes a reference to pure metals. Like, you know, when you look at gold, it says 0.99999 whatever percent pure. Like, it's as pure as it can possibly get. And that's kind of the way that we are called to live our lives. We're called to live lives of purity, as pure as we can possibly get. You're human. You still make mistakes. Like, that's inevitable. But live a life of purity. And don't use that kind of as a reference point to beat people over the head with your morality, right? Like, be pure, but remember that you haven't always been perfect, and you're going to make another mistake. And when you make a mistake, don't be shocked when people turn it back around on you, right? Be pure, but be understanding of other people and where they're at and the struggles that they're going through. I love the way, I think it's in Romans chapter 16, where it talks about to not use our scruples to kind of beat other people up, in essence, is what it says. So be pure, but also be understanding. And the last one is this, be encouraging and exhorting. It's cool because a lot of times you hear these words grouped together, encourage one another, exhort one another. And what's really cool is that they have the same idea, but the way that it's accomplished is a little different. To encourage means to build up and to, you know, make sure that you speak life into situations, into people, and into relationships. And exhort kind of means the same thing, but it's kind of a little stronger. Because sometimes people, the encouragement way just doesn't work, right? I'm as thick-headed as they come. And some of you are too. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And you can encourage me all the day long. Sometimes you just need to kick me in the butt to get me back on the path that I'm supposed to be on, or to kind of wake me up to what it is, the reality that I'm facing, right? So be willing to encourage, and most of the time, this is the way that we should go. We should encourage, and sometimes encouragement is, hey, man, you're better than that. You're better than what it is that you're about to do. You're better than the relationship that you're in. Oh, my gosh, right? How many times do we want to say that to people? Because you see, man, I see people that are in relationships. I'm like, what are you doing? Are you in junior high still? You're 40 and you're acting like you're 13. Puppy love is dead. Unbelievable. Anyway, be encouraging and exhorting. Be willing, man, most of the time, like I said, just build people up and find the good in people and bring that out. I think we can speak to people's potential to build them up. Sometimes, and Shelly is the best at this, Shelly always kind of builds me up to a level beyond what I actually am, which is frustrating at times because I'm like, baby, how do I look? She's like, you look good, and I know I look like trash. I can't trust her. She can't be trusted. But the point is just build people up. Choose to go that route. Build people up. But at times, we've got to be willing to have some of those really hard conversations. And, man, I am the worst at that. I hate that. I like everybody to like me. I like everybody to be my friend and my buddy. But sometimes you just got to tell it like it is, right? And some of you are too good at this conflict thing, and you need to tone down just a little bit. But for the rest of us, sometimes we've got to be willing to step up and have those tough conversations. So that's how we apply this to our life. When we leave, just remember this. Be gracious and strong. Be bold and loving. Be truthful and gentle. Be pure and understanding. Be encouraging and exhorting. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. God, we are so excited just about everything that you do for us. God, everything that you've done in our lives. God, just your goodness and your grace and your mercy. God, that we even know what love is because you first loved us. God, that you've extended your mercy to us through your son, Jesus. God, we appreciate that. And God, I pray that we would just never, ever take that for granted. God, I pray that as we leave this place, that you would help us to become people of humility, people of meekness. God, that is not a bad thing. That is not a weakness, God. In fact, it's the greatest form of strength that we can have in our lives. God, I pray that we would have a quiet and calm confidence in you, that our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is not in our abilities. Our strength is not in what we can accomplish or what we know or our wisdom. Our strength and our confidence is in you, who is infinite. Your wisdom is infinite. Your strength is infinite. Your resources are infinite. So we put our trust and our faith in you to that end. God, we love you, and we ask as we leave this place that you would help us to be snake birds. In Jesus' name.